Welcome to the Fastest 5 Minutes, presented by Kroll and Mooring. We are your co-hosts, David Robbins and Peter Ayer, bringing you a bi-weekly summary of significant government contracts legal and regulatory developments that no government contracts lawyer or executive should be without. We'll start in veteran-owned business news. Late last month, the VA published a final rule amending its regulations governing VA's veteran-owned small business verification programs. Among other things, the VA increases the application processing time to 90 days, and aligns certain definitions between SBA, Small Business Administration, and VA, Veterans Administration rules. This is because the NDAA made a statutory change, placing the responsibility for issuing regulations relating to ownership and control for the verification of veteran-owned small businesses over with the SBA. The rule also clarifies that joint ventures may apply for inclusion in the verification program, provided that the veteran-owned JV member is verified in the normal course, and the JV agreement complies with the requirements set forth in 13 CFR 125 for service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses. Peter, over to you.
So it was a really busy couple weeks when it comes to cybersecurity, supply chain, far too much to cover in this podcast, but we want to just touch on a couple of the headlines and things that we're watching and may be of interest to you. On October 2nd, NIST, or the National Institute of Standards and Technology, published revision 2 of its draft special publication 800-37, which is Risk Management Framework for Information Systems and Organizations. And that document provides guidelines for applying the risk management framework to information systems and organizations. That framework is intended to guide the management of and purchasing for civilian and military IT systems, and it provides a disciplined, structured, and flexible process applicable for both new development systems and existing systems for managing security and privacy risk. This is sort of a holistic way to think about a risk management framework. That's the first item. Second, last month, a task force published a report on assessing and strengthening the manufacturing and defense industrial base and supply chain resiliency of the United States. The report identifies 5 macro forces that erode the capabilities of the U.S. manufacturing and defense industrial base, and they include the following. 1, sequestration and uncertainty of government spending. 2, the decline of critical markets and suppliers. 3, unintended consequences of U.S. acquisition behavior. 4, aggressive industrial policies of competitor nations. And 5, the loss of vital skills and the domestic workforce. And in a truly scary update on October 9th, GAO published a report summarizing its view of DoD weapon systems. And the headline there is that there is a lot of work still to be done when it comes to cybersecurity, a lot of vulnerabilities. Some of the findings include that the computerized nature of weapon systems, the late start in prioritizing cybersecurity, and DoD's relatively nascent understanding of how to develop more secure weapon systems lead to a lot of vulnerabilities. And the report identifies that this only is sort of scratching the surface, that it's really the unknowns that are in some ways scariest. So a lot of focus there. Then we turn to FOCI news, or Foreign Influence and Control. So there's a white paper out of DSS that focuses on outside directors and proxy holders to strengthen FOCI boards. So DSS, in that white paper, detailed best practices, expectations, and factors that DSS intends to consider when approving outside directors and proxy holders to serve on these boards. DSS determined that FOCI boards are generally more complex and demanding than non-FOCI boards because of the intensity of managing security and business, and that in turn, it requires more active and diversified roles for these outside directors and proxy holders. So certainly something of interest, lots there, and DSS will be developing and implementing a new oversight framework to incorporate some of these views. David, over to you.
Thank you, Peter. We'll close today with other transaction news. Late last month, Federal News Radio reported that the Navy extended authority to each of its 5 different systems commands to use other transaction authorities up to $100 million. Each command will have the authority to execute OTA agreements, totaling up to $500 million. So more evidence of the continued march towards OTA and rapid acquisition. And as we have highlighted in this podcast before, continued interest in how that rapid prototyping and rapid acquisition will square with the march of other news like Peter just covered with the need to secure down and really secure what we've got going on in the defense base already, and whether the OTA authority itself has sufficient protections and regulatory capabilities to build in and require that security. So, an area that we certainly are watching, and for those similarly situated, maybe watching as well. That's all for this edition. We'll see you again in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, if you need anything, I can be reached at 202-624-2627, and Peter, 202-624-2807.
The Fastest 5 Minutes podcast is brought to you by Kroll & Mooring LLP. Subscribe on iTunes, and if you enjoy our show, please leave us a review. You can find more information at kroll.com/govconpodcast.